We now continue with the fifth chapter. We are discussing 5.789 we discussed. So now we start with the 10th verse. So now in 5.7 there is a significant word over here which is often it is sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvan api alipyate. So I just discuss this word. Sarva bhuta atma bhuta atma. It's a complex, it's a compound word. It's in grammatical sense it's compound. That means many words are brought together. And in its meaning it is complex to understand. So sarva bhuta is all living beings. Atma bhut atma. So what does this actually mean? So Srila Prabhupada explains that he is dear to everyone and everyone is dear to him. That is how Prabhupada says, sarva bhuta atma bhuta atma. That means he sees that his own atma is like the atma of all living beings. So the Mayavadis interpret this to mean that he sees that his atma is the same as the atma of everyone else. Sarva bhuta atma bhuta atma. That the atma which is there in all bhutas is the same as the atma that is there in me. Now, this can be one meaning of that, but this is not the only meaning, because there are several other verses where it's, the reference is very clearly made. Natve vaham jatunasam is talking about individuality eternally. These kings, I, you and all these kings will exist, there are individuals now and in the future. So it said that. And Krishna also said, mamai vamsho jiva loke bhuta sanatana. So 15.7 he talks about it. 2.12 he has talked about it. So one verse may give some sort of connotations which might seem impersonalist. But if you look at the overall scripture, it's quite clear. So actually this word, what it means is Ramacharya explains that for him all living beings are as dear to him as himself. Sarva bhutatma bhutatma. That means he sees that all living beings are dear to him. And Prabhupada follows that explanation. So this can actually mean that all living beings are one, that oneness can be either in existence or that oneness can be in affection. That means this is actually all of us are belonging to one family. We are all the children of one God, one absolute truth. Sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvan api niyuktate. Now if you look at the context, if a person does not have a discriminating vision, okay, this is my friend, this is this, this is this. He doesn't have that differentiating vision, then he will not do bad karma. He will not get entangled in karmic bondage. That's how he will stay free. So that's the meaning of this word. Moving forward. Karmanyadhaya karmani.
Karmanyadhaya karmani.
Sangam tyaktva karotiya.
Sangam tyaktva karotiya.
Nityatena sa papena.
Nityatena sa papena.
Padma patram ivambasa.
Padma patram ivambasa.
So the most well known of this section of this verse is the D part. Padma patram ivambasa. Right? Ambasa is water. Water on a lotus leaf. So just as water on a lotus leaf just flies off. It doesn't stay over there. Like that, the karmic, even if the person does some actions, his karmic reactions don't enter into it. They just pass off. They fly off. Why? Because there is no attachment. So Brahmanya Adhaya Karmani. So he offers his karma to Brahman. That means, now here the word Brahman, Srila Prabhupada translates this as explaining the Supreme Personality of God. And he offers his work to the Supreme Lord. Brahmanya Adhaya Karmani. Sangam Tyaktva Karotiya. So then, if this Brahman refers to the Absolute Truth, or refers to Paramatma, the Personality of God now did not even introduce Paramatma, then it can mean that he is actually offering the fruits to Paramatma, and so he is not attached to the fruit, so he will not be bound. Now, Baldev Devushan takes the flow of this verse, and if you look at the previous verse, what was it saying? Naiva Kinchit Karomiti. I am not doing anything. Who is doing? Indriyan Indriyatishu. Vartanta Yudharayam. That is the sense and the sense of these are acting. So he says, this here Brahman refers to Mahatattva. So Brahman refers to the substratum of material nature. And is Brahmanya Adhaya Karma. But actually all these karma are happening because of material nature. I have got nothing to do with them. So if you take it in this sense, then this is the opposite of Prakriti Kriyamana. There, the person, actually Prakriti is doing everything, but the person doesn't understand that Prakriti is doing everything. It is Karta Ahamiti Manyati. But the previous verse, 8 times is, I understand, Naiva Kinchit Karomiti. Actually, Prakriti is only doing everything, I am not doing anything. So this verse is actually a contrast to 3.27. And with that understanding, Brahmanya Adhaya Karmani, both meanings can be understood. Brahmanya, if it refers to the absolute truth, it is Paramatma, then it is Karma Yoga. If it refers to Bhagavan, it is Bhakti Yoga. So, Brahman Sangam Tektva Karotiyaha. Now, Vishwanath Chakrabhar explained that Lipyate Nasa Papena. Here, Papa refers not just to sinful actions, but all actions. There is no action stresses a person because the person is not attached to the fruits of his work. Now, in a famous Vaishnava song, this same analogy comes. Lotus flower and water. See that song? Kamala dalla jala jivana dalla mala bhajahu hari padaniti. So now there, actually same example is used, but the purpose is different, the context is different. There it is talking about the insubstantiality, the temporality, the uncertainty of material existence. So in the same example, a different context and different purpose entirely. In fact, this is so well known that the lotus, when it comes in contact with water, water just flies away. So nowadays many skyscraper buildings are made, they use a facade which is called a lotus and facade. Lotus and facade means, you know, there are big buildings, maybe 10 story, 50 story, something like that. And if the facade, the front side is there, it has to look attractive. Who is going to climb up and wash and clean it all? If you have a 50 story building, who is going to clean it so that it looks good? Not very practical. So, what researchers found is that, let us observe a lotus flower, you put water on it, water just washes off. So, like that, they found out what is the chemical composition of the lotus leaf. And then they took that, and using that chemical composition, they have made the facades of these buildings. So what happens? When they just throw water from the top, the water just slides off it, and whatever dust is accumulated on it, that also slides off it. So lotus and facades are becoming very popular nowadays. So the same principle which is being talked about over here, it is recognized by science also. Right? And water doesn't stay on lotus. Krishna talks about this observation for nature, so they may use it for this and that great purpose. But Krishna talks about the same principle for understanding how a person can be in this world but doesn't get bound by the actions of this world. Kayena manasa buddhya,
kayena manasa buddhya,
kevala irindriya irapi,
kevala irindriya irapi,
yogina karma kurvanti,
yogina karma kurvanti,
sangam tyaktva atma shuddhaye,
sangam tyaktva atma shuddhaye.
So now the question may come up, if a person is not attached to the fruits of the work, why should he work at all? Why should he work at all? For Atma Shuddhaye. For this purpose of purification. Which a person who works for the purpose of purification with all what all things? Kayena Manasa Buddhya. With his body, with his mind, and with his intelligence. Now, Kevalair Indriya Rapi, different acharyas explain it differently. Prabhupada explains, even with his senses. That means that spiritual life is to be pursued not just by thoughts and by feelings, but even with our physical actions. So we should seek purification even by engaging our bodily senses. So Vishnu Chakravarti explains Kevalaya means only the senses. So he says that sometimes when the sadhaka is practicing bhakti or when the karma yogi is doing karma yoga, at that time the mind may not be controlled. But still, at least he keeps the senses engaged. So the word kevala can mean even, keval can mean only. So both ways, the understanding is valid. So if keval means even, then that means that even the senses are included in the process of purification. Process of purification is not just abstract or theoretical. If keval means only, that means even if you cannot involve yourself mentally, intellectually, at least engage physically. This is how one practices for the sake of purification. Srila Prabhupada talks about the perfection of the Asana. He talks about the Jivan Mukta in the purport. And it's a person. So here the person is doing the action for the sake of purification. Srila Prabhupada in the purport talks about the perfect stage. In the perfected stage, person will also keep acting in same. So at that person he acts with what? Karmana on Asana Vira. Similar things. Vira is like the senses over here. And such a person is Jivan Mukta. So what does the word Jivan Mukta mean? Jivan Mukta means that the soul is situated in the body, but the soul has no attachment to the body. That means the person has become liberated from material existence. The person is only waiting for the karma to get exhausted. So the body has its own karmic duration. And the person has become liberated from material existence. So there are, and then he is there in the body because the body has its own karmic lifespan. And during the karmic lifespan, the person stays in the material world without getting entangled. So there are two kinds of muktis here. So there is Jivan Mukta and then there is Videha Mukta. Jivan Mukta and there is Videha Mukta. So Videha Mukta means person who is freed from the body. Videha Mukta means one who has given up his body. So, those great souls who are with us, they are Jivan, they may be Jivan Mukta, but they are not Videha Mukta. When they become Videha Muktas, they leave this body and go away. At that time, because their body is completely pure, the body is entombed in Samadhi. Body is not born because it is already pure. So, Jiva Goswami talks about this from the point of view of the Bhagavatas. Did I talk about this in the Ishwarvit course? Those who are sadhana siddha but trigunatita. Did I talk about it? You remember? Okay, I'll listen. Yes. Okay. Three types of Mahabhagavata. So he says, the first type is not sadhana siddha, it is swarupa siddha. It is swarupa siddha. Do you remember? Gunatita. What does that mean? That means the person has not only gone beyond the three modes, but the person has also realized the Swarupa in the spiritual world. So, the second is Gunatita but not Swarupa Siddha. That means the person has gone beyond the modes, but the person has not yet realized his Swarupa. So he's gone beyond the three modes. You understand, I'm not the body, I'm the soul. But as the soul, what is my Swarupa in this material world? That is not yet understood. And third, he said, is he is not Gunatita and he is not Swarupa Siddha. Then how is he called a Mahabhagavata? Because he is Sthira. He is fixed. He is fixed in the process of Bhakti. So it is like, to put it in a metaphorical way, Gunatita and Swarupa Siddha means the person's both legs are in the spiritual world. the gunatinta but not sarvajinta means one leg is in the spiritual world, one leg is in the material world. And not gunatinta, not sarvajinta but siddha but sthira means both legs are in the material world, but eyes are fixed in the spiritual world. Eyes are fixed in the spiritual world. So, here Srila Prabhupada, that means what Krishna is talking about, sadhaka stage, Prabhupada is giving us the siddha stage also. What is going to happen to the such a person in the future? Prabhupada describes that. So it's interesting that even if the person is not gunatita and not swarupa siddha, still our acharyas they call that person mahabhava. The person is fixed in the service to Krishna. Nishtha, ruchi, asakti, bhava. So all the ruchi, asakti, bhava, all those are also very advanced stages. Now after this, the next section starts. But before the next section, there is a concluding verse that summarizes. So Krishna is now telling how Karma Yoga is superior to Jnana Yoga. Karma Yoga is action is superior to inaction. So he summarizes this. Yukta karma phalam tyaktva.
Yukta karma phalam tyaktva.
Shanti mapnoti naishtikam.
Shanti mapnoti naishtikam.
Ayukta kama karena.
Ayukta kama karena.
Phale satto nibaddhate.
Phale satto nibaddhate.
Very simple and clear Sanskrit. Yuktaha, engaged, connected. Karma phalam tektva, he's engaged, he's not attached to the fruit of the world. What happens to a person? Shanti mapnoti naishtike, naishtike, steady, unshakable shanti attains. On the other hand, ayuktaha, one is not connected. He's not connected with transcendence, he's not connected with spirituality. Then what is he connected with? He's connected with the fruits of the kamakare. Such a person is phale satto, he becomes bound and nibaddhi. They attach the fruit, so he becomes bound. So, Krishna is contrasting over it. Now, this contrast, you have to be careful, this contrast is not between Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. This contrast is between the Karma Yogi and the Karma Karmi, between the attached and the detached world. Krishna has already clearly established that Karma Yoga is equivalent to Jnana Yoga, but Karma Yoga is easier. And then he described the internal consciousness of a Karma Yogi in the last few verses. Now, to drive home the point, Krishna says that actually the person doesn't become bound because the person is not attached. On the other hand, somebody attached, the person will become bound. So, Krishna contrasts this. So, this verse is more or less similar to what was talked about in the third chapter when Krishna said that the wise people don't get one. Sakta karma phalam tyaktva. That Saktaha Karmanya Vidvamsa Yatha Kurvanti Bhava. Sakta and Vidvam, Asakta and Avidvam. So Krishna is talking about that contrast. Now, Arjuna gets a question. Still, Arjuna has not clearly understood how can somebody act and not become bound. So, if I am acting, actually I will get bondage. So, Krishna has introduced in the previous verse the idea of understanding the senses are acting, but I am not acting. Senses are acting, but indriya-indriya-artishu vartan-tirti-dhāre. So now, that concept Krishna analyzes further. He says, how one can act like that? And the Acharya is going to a lot of commentary to explain who is actually the karta, who is the doer. Sarva-karmāni-manasā.
Sarva-karmāni-manasā.
Sanyasyāste-sukhamvaśī.
Sanyasyāste-sukhamvaśī.
Navadvāre-pure-dehi.
Navadvāre-pure-dehi.
Nakurvanna-kārayan.
Devakurvanna-kārayan.
So, sarva-karmāni-manasā. With the mind, one renounces all words. Sanyasyāste. So, if one can live like that, it does work, but in the mind, you understand that I am not doing. Such a person is sukham vashi, he will live happily. Navadvare pure dehi, city, the body is the city of nine gates. In the fourth canto, there is an elaborate analysis of this Puranjana story where the city is compared to nine gates, body is compared to the city of nine gates. Naiva kurvan nakaryam, he doesn't do, he doesn't cause anyone else to do also. So we will recite the next two verses and then I will discuss this more. So Prabhupada quotes from the Shvedashita Upanishad where this metaphor of Navadvare pure dehi comes along. We will understand the concept after discussing this and the next verse first. Na kartrutvam na karmani.
Na kartrutvam na karmani.
Lokasya srujati prabho.
Lokasya srujati prabho.
Na karma phala sanyogam.
Na karma phala sanyogam.
Swabhavastu pravartate.
Swabhavastu pravartate.
So Krishna said in the previous verse that actually you should understand that you are not the doer and think that mental renounce all action. Which a person will not do, nor will he make anyone else do. That means you will not be doing sinful action and I am not causing you to do sinful action. Then na kartrutvam na karmani lokasya sujati prabhu. He does not do same point Krishna said. He does not make anyone other do. Then he is not attached to the fruits of karma. Then who is doing all this? Svabhavastu pravartate. Svabhav is material nature. So prakriti refers to material nature in general. Whereas Svabhav refers to the material nature as it is acting upon us, as it has created impressions upon us. So prakriti is broad material nature. Svabhav is the impression that material nature has created on us. All of us have our different Svabhav. Svabhavastu pravartate. The nature is acting. So now, if nature is acting, then who is in control of nature? It is God who is in control of nature. So then is God responsible for what is happening? No. Nātatte kasyacit pāpam.
Nātatte kasyacit pāpam.
Nacaiva sukrutam vibho.
Nacaiva sukrutam vibho.
Ajñāne nāvṛtam jñānam.
Ajñāne nāvṛtam jñānam.
Tena muhyanti jantavah.
Tena muhyanti jantavah.
So Krishna uses the word jantavah, jantu, which is a living entity. Muhyanti is bewildered. Is bewildered what by? Ajñāna. So because he is bewildered by ajñāna, he is responsible. So first part is saying, super soul is not responsible, the soul is responsible. The material nature is acting, but material nature is dead. So then who is the initiator of action? It is not the super soul, it is the soul. But why the soul acts like this? Because of ignorance. So let us try to understand this now. I'll give several examples to illustrate this. Let's first start with, you know, there's a whole section in the Kartra Adhikarana, in the third pada of the second chapter of the Vedanta Sutra, where Baldev Vidyabhushan analyzes who is the Karta, who is the doer. So is the soul the doer or is the soul not the doer? Now if the soul were not the doer, then there are several problems. What are the most obvious problems? The soul is not the doer? Why is he getting different reactions? Yeah, if the soul is not the doer, then he should not be suffering for anything, isn't it? That's one reason. Any other reasons? We just try to see it both ways. If the soul is not the doer, then whose reactions is he getting? Then if he has not done anything, then why is he getting a reaction? He's obviously suffering. That is the first problem that comes up. Second problem comes. Whom are the scriptures directed to? Whom are the scriptures meant for? Isn't it? Obviously, material nature is not going to hear the scripture and change her ways. Material nature is unconscious. See, the soul is not the doer, then the scriptures become meaningless. Because if ultimately Svabhava is only acting, the scriptures are telling you, do this, don't do this. Now, if you didn't have the power to do this and not do this, scriptures would be meaningless. So first, the first problem comes is, for what am I suffering if I am not the doer? And secondly, if I am not the doer, if I don't have the capacity to do anything, then why are scriptures speaking at all? There is no need for scriptures. So surely, within the jhanas, the soul is the doer. Then, why do the scriptures say the soul is not the doer? So that is to indicate that the soul is not the independent doer. So, soul is not the Svatantra Karta. Soul is not the independent doer. That means when the soul wants also, the soul cannot always act the way the soul wants. So, I may want to do something very well. I may want to memorize all the verses of the Bhagavatam, but I find it difficult to memorize one verse of the Bhagavatam. You know, I may want to do so many things in my life, but I can't do it. Although I want to. So if I were the doer, then I should be able to do what I want, but I can't do it. So therefore, I am not the independent doer. Then Baldev Devashi gives an example for this. Same point. Who is the Karta?
let's consider the example of a, if a tree is cut, then so if a tree is cut, the axe is the instrumental cause and the woodcutter is the initiating cause. Now both have to be present. If the tree is to be cut and the axe is not present, the woodcutter, just his hands cannot cut it. On the other hand, if the axe is there, the woodcutter is not there, the axe will not move itself. So both are required. So he says, similarly, for actions in the world, Prakriti is the instrumental cause and Jiva is the initiating cause.
That means, so if a conditioned soul wants to engage in sense gratification, then the desire for sense gratification comes from the soul. Then the material nature provides the body and it provides the facility by which the soul can enjoy. So that means the soul is the initiator and the material nature is the instrument for execution. So now this example illustrates two factors. One is the soul and nature. But actually there are three factors in it and the action.
Who is the third factor? The super soul. So let's look at another example that will illustrate how the super soul comes into the picture. If a criminal is jailed, the police, the police is the instrumental cause, the judge is the sanctioning cause, and the criminal himself is the initiating cause. So this means here, when a criminal is arrested and put in jail, so the police actually catching him and physically placing him in the jail. But that is done after he is sentenced by the judge. Judge is the sanctioning cause. But ultimately, why is the criminal put in the jail? Because he himself did the crime. Similarly, if a soul suffers, material nature is the instrumental cause, super soul is the sanctioning cause. And the soul himself is the initiating cause.
So now, this is another analogy which involves all the three factors. All the three factors, we understand them in coordination over here. So, whenever anything happens, actually the initiation of that activity begins with the soul. The soul desires. And then everything else happens. So another example that can be given is that if a small child, is seeing his father is lifting big weights, the child comes along and says, "Hey, I also want to lift weights." Child comes and he stands in front of big, huge dumbbells or whatever. And now his hands are so small he can't lift it. Just puts his hand, he can't lift it at all. And his father sees, "Oh, my child wants to lift." He can't lift it. The child closes his eyes. "I lift it." Quietly the father comes behind and puts his hand over. And father lifted. "I lifted it up," the child thinks. But actually, who is lifting it? The father is lifting it. But the child is the initiator. So in that example, the child is like the jiva, is the initiator. The father is the super soul. And the hands of the father, which are actually doing the lifting, that is like material nature. So
the principle here is that the soul is always the initiator. And because the soul is the initiator, the soul is responsible. So now, why does the soul initiate activities that are harmful to himself? That Krishna describes in this verse, Agyanenavrutam jnanam tena mohiyanti jantavaha. Because the soul is covered by ignorance, that is why the soul acts in this way. The soul does wrong activities because he is bound. He is bound by ignorance. And the ignorance pushes him in the direction of three modes. So now, let's see if I can make it a little more dramatically clear now. Okay. This may take a little time. Then you can just visualize this. There's one box here, one box here, and one box here. So basically, there is the super soul, there is the soul, and there is material nature. Okay, fine. This should not be so difficult. Super soul. Here there is the soul. Okay. And here there is the material nature. Now all of this together, whole thing together is the conditioned soul. In the conditioned soul, the soul is there, the body is there, the super soul is there. So now how things work is, from the external point of view, some stimulus comes inside. And then some action goes out. So here, stimulus means, say, the person sees a sense object here, and then he engages in sense gratification. So sight of sense object comes, and then there is sense gratification that happens. The whole thing too small, or are you able to see it? You want to see it from there? No, no? Okay. As soon as I complete, I'll show it to you. So now here you'll put it. What made this color come over here?
Right click it, there is a property design. Yeah, shape. So you can click on the shape.
Okay. Okay, this is fine. So now, how it works is, that where the shape's going on? Okay. So the soul actually desires. And after the soul desires, then the super soul sanctions, and then material nature executes. So I'll just draw this, then I'll explain this once again. It's not very complicated. Once the diagram is ready, it will be easy for you to understand. So now let's do something else over here. So I'm using three different colors to indicate different things over here so that it will be clear. Okay. It's done. Visible there now?
Yes.
Okay. So now how it works is this box you can see, this whole box is the condition zone. So it's like the condition soul is a composite of the soul, the body and super soul, all three are together. So now from the external world a sense object comes along. Sense object comes in contact with the conditioned soul. When the sense object comes in contact, the perception goes to the soul. So through the eyes, the perception goes to the soul and soul desires, I want to enjoy this. Soul desires to enjoy this, then that desire is sensed by the super soul. The desire is sensed by the super soul. Shrutis give the example that just as one senses the fragrance of a flower without contacting it. So like that the super soul senses our desire. And then, considering our karma, the super soul desires whether this particular desire is to be fulfilled or not. And if it is to be fulfilled, then the super soul sanctions. And sanctions means super soul instructs material nature. The super soul instructs material, do this. When it's a sanction, then what happens is material nature executes it. So that's how all our actions happen. So somebody is a good singer and that person wants to sing. So that person's soul initiates the whole thing by desiring to sing. But sometimes even a good singer suddenly forgets the tune, can't sing only. Why does that happen? That's because the super soul is not sanctioned. So so all that it means is that it may be because of, for a particular person, it may just be like I was telling earlier in Aisha Bhishan, sometimes cricketers go out of form. They don't want to go out of form, but just go out of form. What happens, they don't know. So they have the desire to hit a sixer, but they get clean bowled. So what happens? The super soul doesn't sanction it. So then the execution doesn't happen. So when the super soul sanctions, super soul sees, okay, does this person have the karma to get this particular action done? He has the super soul sanctions. And then material nature executes. Material nature executes it. So that's where things happen. Now in this whole situation, in different contexts, the emphasis will be different. Now sometimes the scriptures may say that actually the soul is not the doer. When is that told? That emphasis is given when the emphasis is to be conveyed to the soul that don't become attached to all the things that you are doing in this world. Ultimately, you have got nothing to do with this world, you have got nothing to do with this body. And if you understand this, then you will not become entangled. So, if I can speak nicely, if I can sing nicely, if somebody can play nicely, whatever. Now, if the person thinks, oh, I can do this so well, I'm such a great person. Then that creates attachment. And that attachment creates bondage. So, when the soul is to be conveyed this point that don't be attached to the soul, at that time we emphasize, you are not the doer. Actually, simply material nature acting. So, I may speak very nicely. I may be able to speak according to choice English words. But I myself don't know the process by which it happens. Actually, one of my devotee friends is a sound engineer. He's trying to make a software by which they try to replicate human sound, human speech. And it's almost impossible. We can have devices, we have this frequency synthesizer which can produce different kinds of music. But actually to produce human sound, human speech, is impossible. At best, a machine can produce human speech which is completely flat and monotonous. When we speak, there are so many emotions. There is modulation, there is pause, there is acceleration. There is so much variation. That cannot be produced. And even the best engineers can't produce it. They don't even... They find it so complicated. How are we doing it? We don't even know how we are doing it. When we desire, it happens. So So who is executing it? Super-super is executing it. Super-super is executing it. So similarly, there is this whole phenomena of migrating birds. You know, there are birds who stay in one part of the country at one time and then travel to another part of the country. Sometimes they travel to another part of the world. Thousands of kilometers they travel. And these birds, when they travel, actually scientists are wondering, how do they travel? For now, there is an example, let's say, there is one devotee, Ishwar Krishna Prabhu, has written a book called Nature's IQ. I mean, it's filled with very beautiful pictures. I don't know whether that is there now, it's all. Very beautiful way to, it won an award also in an American book fair. So, there he describes how these birds, when they fly, what happens is sometimes these birds don't have a very long lifespan. So the birds are living in one particular place and then they travel in the rainy season or whatever to another place. And that journey takes a long time for them. So they wonder, how do they know where they're supposed to go? Maybe it's because we just sense it by the weather. But when they are going, sometimes the direction in which they are going, the weather is more inclement for them. That means if it's hot over here, this side it is cold. But along the journey it's hot. It's hotter. So if they're just going according to body sensations, they will not go towards the hotter direction. But how do they know in advance that beyond the heat there is a cold area? And even if you know there's a cold area, how do they know the direction? They thought maybe, you know, they have some sort of sensation by which they look at the stars and the sun and the moon and somehow they sense the direction. But then they found that actually, even when it's completely clouded, there are no stars, there is no sun, there is no moon, still they are able to go. Then they decided, okay, what we'll try is, they did an experiment, they caught birds, blindfolded them completely and took them 1,000 kilometers away. And the bird will just fly up, round and round and round, and like a rocket that is shot, swoop, straight go back to the nest. Now human beings can't do that. You know, if we are kidnapped and taken somewhere, we'll have to have a map, which city I'm in, how am I supposed to go? How will I go back? I have no idea. They have no idea, but these birds have an idea. They not only have an idea, clear idea they have. So now they try to say that maybe, you know, there are some magnetic fields inside the brain of the birds. And maybe that magnetic field aligns with the magnetic field which is there on the earth. And maybe the harmony of those two magnetic fields, they get a direction. But actually, the brain of the bird is so small and more or less the composition of the brain, our brain does not have any magnetic field like that. How will their brain have it? So material level, the explanation is the baffling. And the most baffling part of it is that there are sometimes some birds, they have a nest in a particular tree. And then they fly away to a distant part and then they reproduce over there. And then not only they reproduce over there, they die over there. And when their children come back and stay on the same tree in the same nest. Now how do the children come to know about that nest? It's completely incredible. So how does it happen? It happens because the super soul is dying. 18.61 says, Ishvara sarva bhutanam vritteshe arjuna tishtati gramayan sarva bhutani yantrarudani maya. So all humans are situated on like machine. Material nature, machine that is given by material nature, but the wandering is directed by the super soul. So actually in this verse, the literal translation, there is no directed. Ishvara sarva bhutana vriddeshi arjuna tishtati. All that it says is, in all living beings, the Ishvara is situated. And brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra arudani maya. Second part says that, okay, the living entities are wandering in the material world on a machine of nature. Srila Prabhupada adds that point of directed. And that makes things very clear. Actually, it's a very precise word, directed. Because if you have a movie, the director is not seen. But the director is doing everything. So like that, the super soul is not seen. You see only the birds flying here and birds flying there. And scientists are trying to find out the material mechanism for that. They can't find the material mechanism. But it happens. So how does it happen? Super soul guides. Super soul guides. So when we want to free a conditioned soul from attachment or pride, at that time, the emphasis is talent. You are not the doer. Don't become so proud. Don't think you are such a talented person. On the other hand, when we want a person to take responsibility and initiative, at that time, the scripture said, unless you do it, it won't happen. If you see, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is Arjuna, Karta Amiti Manyate, who thinks is a fool. But then at the end, what does Krishna tell Arjuna? Now you have to decide what you want to do. Now Vimbrishyate Dashayana Yathe Chishtakur. Now decide what you want to do. And that time Arjuna doesn't say, hey, I'm not the Karta, why are you asking me to do it? What does he say? Karishyate Vachana, I will do what you want to say. So, that means scriptures make emphasize different points to convey different messages according to context. So, for when, as I'll conclude with this, maybe if you can have some questions if there are. How did it come here? Anyway. This is the theme that is going on. Who is the Karta? When scriptures want to free us from attachment and pride, then they emphasize you are not the doer. On the other hand, when the scriptures want us to take responsibility and initiative, then they assert you are the doer. So actually, we are the doers, but we are not the only doers. So if we start taking credit for what we are doing, then scriptures will tell us, don't become so proud. You are not the only person who is doing it. And if you become proud, you become attached and bound by this. On the other hand, if we are not doing anything, if we are not choosing the right action, it's you who have to do it. So Krishna will tell in the last verse over here, of this section, he will say that, once you have knowledge, then everything will become clear.
ज्ञानेन तदज्ञानम्
येषां नाशितमात्मनः
येषामादित्यवज्ञानम्
प्रकाशयति तत्परम्.
सो
ज्ञानेन, बाय ज्ञान, व्हाट विल हैपन? अज्ञानं नाशिनम्, नाशितम्, अज्ञान विल बी डिस्ट्रॉयड. And that jnana, what will happen? That jnana is aditya vach. Aditya is sun. It is sun-like. Prakashyati will be illuminated. Now here, Vishnu Acharya Thakur gives a long purport and he emphasizes the word param. Param, he says, refers to the super soul. Prabhupada takes param to refer to the spiritual knowledge, the supreme knowledge. Just as sun likes everything in the devarain, everything gets illuminated. But he says, so he, this is a verse which is talking about transition from Atma Gyan to Paramatma Gyan. So till now, Krishna has been primarily talking in terms of the interaction of the soul and matter. Isn't it? He is talking about how the Prakriti is acting and the soul should think, I am not acting. And then he will not get bound. But now here he says that actually when one gets proper knowledge, then that knowledge will illuminate everything. And among everything, what will you have to be illuminated? That will be Param, that will be the absolute truth, who is manifested in the heart of the super soul. So, actually, Chakravarti Pal explains that by Atma Gyan, one can be saved from bondage. But only by Paramatma Gyan, one can attain liberation. And how one will attain liberation, that will be described in the future verses of the section. Any questions to you? Yes.
Adhyana Avrutam Gyan. Ajnan is, you said that it is not an entity. And in the previous chapter, you said that lust covers the knowledge. So, what is this covering?
Okay. Here it says Ajnan in Avartam Jnanam. By ignorance is covered. The third chapter says avritam jnanametena, it's talking about how lust covers it. So when I said, if I said like that, that agyan is not an entity, what I meant is that it's not conscious. It's not conscious. Generally, there are entities and there are objects. So entities are, generally speaking, they are considered to be conscious. They are agents of action. Whereas objects are, they are not the agents of actions, they are the targets of action. On them actions perform. So I walk on the floor. So I am the agent of action and the floor is the object of action. Generally speaking, ajnanena avrutam jnanam. So when ajnan covers us, so what does the covering of ajnan do? It misdirects our action. See, even if the soul is in ignorance, it is the soul who is the doer. It is the conditioned soul only who desires sense gratification. It is he only who becomes lusty, greedy, angry. So just as there is a white tube light over here, but if I put a red coating over this, then the same soothing white light will become a jarring red. So like that, the soul has originally pure desires. But when the soul gets covered by lust, by ajnana, so Krishna uses basically different words. So when the soul gets covered, in the pure desires of the soul become perverted. And those perverted desires are the cause of bondage. So because the ignorance has been put on the soul because of his own past karma, therefore the soul is himself responsible. And because the soul can change his desires, scriptures talk about it, yes. Actually, we are acting under the influence of ignorance, become free from the ignorance. Tamaso ma jyotirtama.
Ignorance is a thing that actually covers.
Is ignorance a thing that actually covers? See, again, there are things and there are beings. So now, what is the mind? Is it a thing or is it a being? Yeah, it is a thing, but for all practical purposes, scriptures treat it like a being. Isn't it? Thing means that which is non-living, being means that which is living. So, subtle matter is normally, it's a thing, it's non-living. But because it is subtle, because it is so closely connected to the soul, it is, as I said earlier, like a software. And a software seems to have a will of its own, seems to prompt, do this, don't do this. It will keep prompting. So like that, the subtle matter, although it is a thing, it's a programmed thing, and that's why it keeps prompting us. And because it keeps prompting us, many of the times scriptures personify it. Personify it means talk about it as if it is living. So we also say, actually, lust is attacking me now. Actually, the lust is not attacking me, it is those desires, I am only succumbing to those desires. But that is a convenient way of understanding the dynamics of what is happening at a subtle level. The scriptures do use it frequently. But if you look at it from a philosophical perspective, scriptures make it quite clear. That matter, that even the mind and everything that happens in the mind, the entities that occupy the mind, they are non-living. Now beyond that, there is Maya and there are three modes of material nature. So three modes of material nature are controlled by Maya, and Maya is a real entity. So the apparent activity of the mind that happens, that is stimulated by Maya. Does that answer your question?
Agyan and avartam jnanam. So agyan covers the jnan, so therefore desire arises, and there it is said that desire covers the jnan.
Okay, does ignorance cover the knowledge and so the desire arises, or does the desire cover the knowledge? Okay, so see how it is. Both contribute to each other. Which is the original thing? We know the original soul desires to enjoy separate from Krishna. So our desire is the original. But once when we come to this world, then there is a systematic process which goes on. What is that process? That because I act in ignorance, so that ignorance also triggers certain desires. So for example, if a person is habituated to drinking, then he has become ignorant about the consequences of drinking. So now why did he start drinking? It was because of his own desire. So that desire blinded him to its consequences. Now when he is blinded to the consequences, the desire increases further. And he indulges in further, and that the further into this blinds him further. So both contribute to each other. You remember I talked about earlier? There is ignorance, then there is sinful action, and then there is continuation of material existence. And material existence condition means there is ignorance again. So it's a cycle. So both feed each other. The original is the desire. Original is the desire. Krishna Bahirmukha Jiva Bhoga Vancha Kare Nikatastha Mayatari Japatiyatari. So what is this? Actually describing three things. First is Bhoga Vancha. The desire is there. That desire, instead of Krishna sees it, then it's fine. I'll obscure myself. Bahirmukha Jiva Bhoga Vancha Kare Nikatastha Mayatari Japatiyatari. So as soon as we desire, now we may ask, why do we desire? Because we forget Krishna. We forget Krishna, so we desire to enjoy separately. As soon as we desire to enjoy separately, we go into Maya. And Maya covers us further, that leads to further forgetfulness, that leads to further material desires, that leads to further bondage. So both of them are like they contribute to each other, making it a vicious cycle. So where do we break it? We break it just as the desire started it, the desire will end it. So whatever, when we talk about the covering, what that's basically conditioning, that's like a software code, that's like a program, which pushes us in particular directions. So here, in this particular, this is the one here. So here actually there's another additional factor, if you want to make things more complicated, it's that actually material nature also pushes. You know, material nature also pushes. Material nature says, come on, do this, enjoy this. So our mind also prompts us, tempts us, pushes us, prods us. That is there. But ultimately, it is the soul who chooses. Like, remember I said, the mind compels but doesn't impel. Mind impels but doesn't compel. Impels, pushes us but doesn't force us. So, that way it is our own ultimately the choice. So just as it is our desire which caused our bondage, it is our desire that can bring us liberation. Clear? Last question. What about the intelligence?
This mind will propose that sometimes through our intelligence we will curb the desire.
Correct. So this is primarily focusing on action. This is not talking about the dynamics and subtle of the mind and the intelligence. That is true. So then what will happen is the material nature may push me in a particular direction, but another aspect of material nature is the intelligence. And we say, no, I should not do this. So then what will happen is the soul will desire. Okay, I want to do this, I don't want to do this. So the freedom is there for the soul. Soul may initiate the action to engage in sense gratification. Soul may initiate the action to go away from sense gratification. Both options are there for the soul.
Desire means desire for action. If you see some sense object, immediately the desire will come. But again, diligence will force and what is not good. Then again, we will do it. So, actual desire means actually doing the action which
needs to be. So, good question. So, the desire comes but the intelligence can say no. So here, when the word desire is used, it is used in the sense of intention. I want to do it. So that when the desire grows, it becomes an intention. So you put it like this. What is it? Intends. I had earlier used the word initiates. So the soul, that means when the desire goes to the level of intention, there's a letter of Prabhupada where apparently devotee asked the Prabhupada, I'm so much troubled by sex desire. So Prabhupada said that to get sex desire is no problem. Just to act on sex desire is a big problem. So Prabhupada differentiates between it very clearly. He says, to get sex desire is natural in the material condition. But to act on it, that is the problem. So here when you're talking about desire, it's talking about intent. Yes, I want to do it. If I don't want to do it, the super soul will not. It will super soul will not sanction it. When we want to do it, only the super soul sanctions it. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Tai Gaur Premanandi. So as far as the Agyan is concerned. So, if you look at the Agyan, is the Agyan just the absence of Gyan
or is there some entity called Agyan? Now if you look at the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when the creation is described, at that time, yeah, Agyan is of five types. So Brahmaji to describe that he creates ignorance by five layers. Tama and Moha and Mahamoha, things like that are there. That means that there is actually a ontological object that creates that ignorance. So it's not just the absence of knowledge, because it is not what we experience is not just the absence of knowledge, but also the presence of false knowledge. The absence of knowledge would just be avarnatmika shakti. Avarnatmika shakti makes me forget who I am. But prakshepatmika shakti gives me all a false sense of identity. So to forget I am the soul is one thing. Forget I am surrounded by Krishna is one thing. But to think that I am a young man, that is another thing. So it is not just that our knowledge is covered, but it's also that we have got a false sense of identity. Sometimes we compare our material existence to, say, a forgetful soul who has forgetful soul called amnesia. So it's not just that we have got amnesia. After we get amnesia, we also got a false sense of identity. I've forgotten who I really am, but I'm also thinking of myself as somebody else. So that secondary aspect is also an aspect of Maya. That's why it's not just the absence of knowledge, it's not just the absence of true knowledge, but also the presence of false knowledge. So both have to be removed. False knowledge has to be removed, and the true knowledge has to be revived. Where Maya? Maya means Durga Devi.
Thank you.